experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Mizzou football is back in action. Be sure to get your tickets in advance to experience the excitement of the Zoo. Got a group you want to bring to a game? Mizzou Athletics offers up tons of great group incentives, including a Drew Lock bobblehead when you purchase 15 or more tickets to a single game. Order your tickets now at MUTigers.com or call 1-800-CAT-PAWS. We'll see you at the Zoo.
It started in Wayno's garden, spread to my kitchen, caught fire with the team, and now imagine the whole city eating my salsa.
Introducing Matt Carpenter's Bueno Mojo Salsa, available only at Schnucks and in stores now.
Dan, people always ask me, Matt, you're hitting the most home runs of your career. You could be the MVP, and the Cardinals are on fire. Is it really because of the salsa? And I tell them, yes.
So swing by Schnucks and pick up Matt Carpenter's Bueno Mojo Salsa. Go to Schnucks and go loco, folks, with Matt Carpenter's Bueno Mojo Salsa.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Mizzou football is back in action. Be sure to get your tickets in advance to experience the excitement of the Zoo. Got a group you want to bring to a game? Mizzou Athletics offers up tons of great group incentives, including a Drew Lock bobblehead when you purchase 15 or more tickets to a single game. Order your tickets now at MUTigers.com or call 1-800-CAT-PAWS. We'll see you at the Zoo.
This is it.
This is it.
Hey, it keeps going.
Yeah. Out in the hall a while ago, during the news, Limey says, are you going to come out with Scott Sherman's theme, or can I play bumper music? Bumper music is music we play between sets. That was bumper music.
Yeah, that was bumper music.
I said, yeah, why? He goes, I got something, you know, Hank Hill or something.
Crikey, governor.
And I thought this was going to be something really, really...
It's just no, it's just the intro song.
The King of the Hill.
I said it's the King of the Hill intro song.
Why did you want to play that before Scott?
Because I wanted to use it as bumper music.
Because you personally just like it.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear
it. It's not all about you, you know.
Well, I know that. Well, you should have said no then.
I said attitude again that the caller was talking about, developing an attitude.
That caller was Mr. Londo.
You crossed it. Well, okay, that's kind of important. You crossed the one-year mark here, and now all of a sudden you think you like a little attitude. You take over.
Man, you made it a year.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Call the Guinness Book of World Records.
Call Frank's neurologist.
Wow. Well, this is Thursday, and before we play his theme music, I will give you the phone numbers. Now, listen to me, folks. The smart people will be dialing as soon as I give these numbers, because legal advice is not cheap. Here, it's free. 314-821-0590. There they go. Now they're lighting up. Or 855-282-8255. Now, I wish I knew which number to tell you to call first, but I don't. And when all the lines are full and somebody finishes, that means, ooh, they hung up, there's a line open. Does anybody here know which one of those numbers will come through first?
I don't think there is a specific one that we'll get through first. It's really just whichever one is open.
Here's what you do when you know a line is open and now there's one more open. Just start dialing both of them. I don't care which one you do first. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I do want to mention before we start the theme music that Scott Sherman every Thursday is brought to you by Peroni's Pizza. I had never heard of Peroni's Pizza until, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago. And because they're very generous when it comes to certain charitable events that they believe in, they catered a golf tournament. The first real memory I have of being introduced to their food was a golf tournament. And I don't do those anymore, but when I did, and here comes Peroni's. And what I remember is that I looked at what they brought and I thought, wow, nobody's going to go hungry here today. It was unbelievable what they brought. And then I tasted it. I know this is a big pizza town, and there's probably 200 different pizza places or types of pizzas. But folks, if you've never had Peroni's, do yourself a favor. They have two locations, Florissant and St. Peter's. The best way to sample all the stuff they do so well is take advantage of this buffet. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., it is an all-you-can-eat buffet. And on Friday, that would be tomorrow, it includes their famous chicken wings. P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S. I spell it so that you'll know how to go to their website, peronispizza.com.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see,
yes,
I didn't really
the late,
mean
great
you.
Johnny Cash singing the theme music that means it's time to check in with Scott Sherman. The lines are all full, but folks, again, when someone finishes, jump on those numbers. Would you please welcome attorney at law, Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you very much.
Listen to that crowd.
Look at it.
They love you.
On their feet.
I say we jump right in because we got a lot of calls. And last week was one of the most interesting weeks ever. The problems people had, yep, the topics we talked about. And I think it looks like we're going to have another day like that today. I believe holding the longest is Mike. So, Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. First off, I'm aiming.
That's important. Thank you. Hey, can I before you speak, Mike? I just got a text earlier. I kept saying Weldon Spring. What am I thinking of? Bush's Wildlife. Thank you, Rat. Sent me a text. That's what I was trying to think of. Bush's Wildlife. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh no problem. So my question basically deals with I'm a renter and dealing with who I rent from. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I rent from a person. It doesn't go through a rental company. It's through someone who manages the condo, the property. And my question is, can I only be dealing with the person whose name is on the property, or is her husband allowed to get in on it? Because I've always dealt with her, and when she got married, her husband has been just ridiculous with me on some things. But I have a true feeling that's only her name is still on the property.
I'll take a quick run at this if you don't mind. I say he has nothing to do with it, Scott.
Frank might be right. The lease, I take it, was written between you and the owner, so he's not on. He's not mentioned. The question becomes: it's one of agency. Has the owner given you the indication that either he has authority directly, or that by sort of the way she'll say, call my husband about this, that she has given him some sort of authority to speak on behalf of her?
Well, she may have legally, with documents, restructured the company and included him. That could be, too.
It might be. Does she do it as an LLC, or does she do it as a person?
She does it as a person.
So you write it out to Jane Smith or whatever her name is. And
that's correct.
Why don't you send her an email and say, your husband is a jerk, or something like that. I don't want to deal with him. here's your check. I don't want to talk to him again and see what her reaction is. Now, I don't want you to get kicked out of your place, but yeah. You don't have to deal with him just because they are married. Your deal is with her.
Hey, now, can I say something? Yeah. Mike, was your dealing with her always pretty pleasant before he came into the scene?
Absolutely.
You know what I would do? I would soften the blow. I do what Scott said, but I would preface it with Margaret, or whatever her name is, I have never had any issues with you. I have always enjoyed the way you take care of But lately, it seems that your husband wants to, and then you slam him for being somebody you don't want to deal with. Compliment her and state clearly that your association with her and the way she handles her business, you've always appreciated, but now you don't particularly appreciate him. That way, I here's a compliment. I hate your husband.
I used to hear that in high school. I like you, but.
Or I like your butt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I never heard that.
And don't do that, Mike. That might not go over well.
I like that idea.
Now, yeah. I want to know this. Mike, are you still on a written lease, or are you sort of a month-to-month as-is tenant?
Month-to-month right now because I have been getting job interviews out of state.
Yeah. You know, I just don't want you to be exposed where they say, okay, you don't like him, you're out in 30 days. I don't want that to happen, but I like Frank's approach.
Right.
You don't have to deal with this guy. Here's what you have to do. Pay your rent. And pay it on time.
And here's my other question. How rentable is this place? If you were to go, would they have a hard time renting it to somebody else for that money? Or is it a place somebody would jump on right away?
No, because the place where I live, whenever people move out, it's literally, it turns around and someone's in it right away.
Okay. So if I have to keep dealing with your husband, I'm out of here, wouldn't work very well as a threat because he just rented somebody else. Okay. I say go the, I've always appreciated you and the way you run your business, but, I just don't understand why lately, your husband has had to fill in whatever the blank is.
Yeah. Ask her this. What is it that I have done that would make him treat me this way?
Ooh, there you go. That's a good one.
Turn it around on them.
Yeah.
And then he'll tell you that he probably is jealous of you. Because he thinks,
there's been no history of any problems, and I always pay my rent on time.
That makes you a great tenant. Put it in a situation where she says to him, "What is wrong with you?"
You may very well get an email from her going, "You know what? I can't stand him either."
Yeah,
I mean,
thank you for opening my eyes.
No, I think that's another great idea is to say, could you just share with me whatever it is I might have done?
SOS.
Because your husband to deal with me this way?
That's right.
There you go.
I have never been treated like this by you, and we have always gotten along well.
Yeah, you sound like a good renter to me. That's kind of stupid to say somebody sounds like a good
renter. And it sounds like he thinks that the husband thinks he has a little power and is really trying to...
There's nothing better than someone new in a relationship.
Because this guy
trying to run the business of the person.
This husband married her after you became a renter, right?
Correct.
Oh, that's exactly what this is. He steps in now.
Yeah, I'll show you how to do it.
Honey,
I'll make sure the rent's on time. Rent's always on time.
Honey,
he doesn't kick holes.
I'll handle these renters. Yeah.
How many places does she have, sort of give or take a few?
Excuse me. I believe that she had two, but now it's just down to one.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous.
She may not even be aware that he's treating it like that.
Yeah, sometimes I feel that way.
Let her know. All right.
Yeah.
All right,
Mike.
All right, Mike.
Well, thank you guys for the help.
Good luck.
I appreciate it.
Good luck.
All right. Bye bye.
That means the line's open, folks. That's how this works. Jump on it. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. Sheila is next. Sheila, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Sheila. How are you?
Good. I have a simple question, and I don't know if I'm allowed to use business names, but back in April, my daughter went downtown to a brunch. The parking lot she parked on, I don't know what happened, but she got a ticket. So when they entered the ticket in the computer, instead of entering a zero, they entered an O, as in Oscar. So this generated the wrong information in the system, and when she paid it, it didn't get recorded. So she keeps getting notices that this ticket has gone unpaid. However, it has. She's reached out to them by phone and by email and gotten no response. So I was just going to ask you, do you think if we were to, you know, have an attorney put something on letterhead, we might be able to get their attention and get this matter corrected?
Yeah, I not only do I think that, but I can probably save you some money on that. Do you go downtown often enough that going down to, say, 7th and Olive wouldn't be a hardship? I'll tell you why.
I can make it in my schedule.
They have a walk-in office that's about that corner there that handles these things. If she took her paid receipt or however she proved that she paid it, they could clear that up right there. And that way, okay, if they ignored it, because the parking people in the city are horrible, some of the lawyers that handle it are nice, but the whole system is
What is this office, though? 7th and Olive has four corners. What are we talking about?
It's the northwest corner, actually.
Is there a name for the
building? It says St. Louis Parking Authority.
Oh, okay.
And you walk in, it's next to the parking garage, and there's a lady that sits behind a glass wall, and you go, hey, I paid my parking ticket, but it never got reported. Let me show you what I got. Here's what I paid. Can you fix this? And usually the answer would be yes.
See, I don't understand the zero or O thing.
The meter maid, whatever, put in the wrong digit.
Character.
That, therefore, they can't find Sheila's daughter's ticket because it's not designated by the right number.
Oh, okay, the ticket number.
Right.
Okay.
No, the license plate number, because they entered it by, it's six characters.
I got you.
Instead of it, an alpha character, it's
a double that. Did your daughter pay for parking by using one of those kiosks?
All the time.
Okay, is this the thing where she had paid for the parking and they gave her car a ticket because your daughter didn't put it in right, or she paid the parking ticket, which was legitimate, and it didn't get credited?
No, she has the app on the phone,
so it's
and I'm sure that she entered her license plate correctly.
Okay, so this is a question of whether or not she should have gotten a ticket at all.
Right.
Go down there and talk to the people.
No, she, 7th and Olive, you say, right?
Yeah.
About the northwest quadrant.
That's right.
Okay.
Parking, what's it called? Parking Authority?
Yeah, the St. Louis Parking Authority.
All right. Sheila, good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your service.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate you listening.
I hope they don't get mugged.
We got a line open. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Real quickly, I'm glad she called, and I'll tell you why. Every one of us, I guarantee you, you'll know when I say this, it happens all the time. Somebody sends you something or gives you, and you don't know if it's a zero or an O. That drives me nuts. Wait, yes. The one with the slash through it is a zero.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. And but, that, you know what I started doing? And I write a lot of checks. I get made fun of a lot, cause old-fashioned checkbook.
Right.
I put the line through the zero, like a diagonal line.
Right.
Just
so that it's not the letter O.
Or just so it's not misconstrued. And it's never been rejected by any bank. And I do the same thing when I fill out stuff for the post office, like express mail. I'll put the line through the zero so that there's no problem with the address.
Now, real quick, here's another thing I can't stand. Don, you're next. So hang on. Just give me one. When you're on the computer and you're trying to get to something and it asks you to write in the box these goofy symbols, you can't even make out what they are. KLMJ34, and one's an uppercase one, and there's always one in there. You cannot tell what it is.
That's right.
What is that about?
And then if you put it in, then it's wrong. Then they give you another set, and you still don't
know. Why do they make it so hard to identify? They're trying to confirm that
you're not a robot.
Right. Well, I'm not a robot. Just give me something that I can actually read.
That's right. And then now they'll have a thing that'll be a box to say, I am not a robot. And you click that. I'm not kidding. So why not just have something that says, I'm not a robot, click.
What does that even mean? Do robots get on computers? What does that mean?
I think that they don't want people hacked, getting their stuff, their information hacked to go into their accounts.
Holy cow.
But what is typing hieroglyphics have anything to do with it. Here's another thing, it's for another day. Who decided where the letters on the keyboard go?
No, there's an actual reason.
Is there a reason that there's a semicolon?
You didn't take typing.
I did
class.
Take typing, but I don't know why those are there in that particular configuration.
It doesn't make any sense. They teach you that in typing.
I know what
class.
They are, but I don't know why.
Let's go to Don. Don, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to attorney at law, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Don.
AM and the PM.
Thank you, Don.
But listen to Dan and you all the time on the weekend on the yard sale. So, but I actually have a legal question. A buddy of mine, he doesn't own the house. His mother owns the house that he grew up in, and he lived there up until she went into a nursing home probably in February, and then he went into a nursing home in, I guess, the end of May. They put an order to vacate based on the furnace quit working, all the utilities got shut off, he had staph MRSA infection, so, but now he's trying to, he wants to move back to the house, but it's in his mother's name. She's in a nursing home. Is the state going to take the house?
Ooh.
I guess is my question.
Well,
I don't know how they can take the house.
Does his mother have...
She's in a nursing home, and everything's paid by... She only gets SSI.
And there's no more, it's paid for. It's a question of whether it's habitable or not. If they condemn that thing, they could force a sale. But does she have capacity to make decisions to let somebody else?
No.
So she's
not competent.
I think they're going to have to file for a guardianship to say.
That's kind of the sad part, too, is he's her guardian and he's her power of attorney, I guess.
And he's in the nursing
for years. Well, he's in a nursing home now, yeah.
Well, wow. If he has a durable power of attorney that's written, then he doesn't need a guardianship. Then he can do this.
Unless he's not competent.
Does he have the ability to...
Well, the problem is it's probably going to cost $10,000 to get the furnace replaced, to get the house cleaned out. I mean, there's... You got
MRSA.
The staph infection, MRSA. When he lived there, and that was like 4 years ago, but there's all kinds of problems with the house.
Send me an email because I think he has the magic key, which is the power of attorney, and he might be able to designate someone as an agent to do what's best for his mother in the house, which he is not in his name, but he has a power of attorney over before this thing gets condemned and sold. Does anybody have any idea what it's worth?
I did a little checking on it, and I mean, his dad only paid, I think, $13,000 for the house.
Oh my goodness!
But that was like 50 something years ago.
What are the comps on Zillow? Just to give in, I mean, let's say it's the worst house in the neighborhood. Is it worth $60,000?
They comped it. Well, they did a comprehensive thing, and I found something similar to his house was about $101,000.
Yeah, it's time to get somebody with some authority to maybe even take out a loan to get the thing up to be sold.
Well, he can't take out a loan for sure. I mean,
because he doesn't own it.
He's in the nursing home and gets zero income. So,
well, they may have to sell. They may have to FSBO this thing. You would hate this asset to go to the government. Because of the lack of upkeep.
Can you do? You can do an as is, right?
Sure.
An as is.
There's tons of people that want to buy that stuff.
Hey Don,
but she doesn't have capacity, and he right now, he looks like he has authority. So, give me an email.
You need to shoot an email to Scott because this is a little more involved than we'll have time to get into. But he can absolutely help you and turn you on to the right. But do you have his email address?
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
How about this guy? Yes, that's exactly right.
Well done.
Don, good luck. Okay. Good luck with this.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Go ahead.
I have a quick answer on Scott's issue about why the letters are on the typewriter
or
on the keyboard. It's because it was invented in the 1870s, and the most common combinations of letters are CH, ST, TH, and WH. And in the old days, those typewriters, the bars would come up together, you know, and if it was typed real close,
jam.
They would jam and get stuck, and so they were separated out. That's why the C has the D, the F, the G, the V, and the X around it, because there's no really word in the dictionary where C is followed by or preceded by any of those letters. And it was just, it was a trial and error thing in terms of two-handed typist, what letters are going to be most likely to have combinations next to each other, and that's why they're spread out on the keyboard.
Head of research, Tim Woodburn, head of the entire research team. Wow, way to go. Yeah. And he didn't put his staff on that. He did it himself. Who's been holding the longest? I think it's Rick. Rick, welcome to 590, The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. How are you?
Good. How are you? I've got a question about an easement on a road. So I've got 2 acres, and directly across from me is a little gas station, and a little ways down, they built a storage shed facility.
A what?
And
a storage shed. Okay.
Yes. So the guys come over and they wanted to put an easement on this one lane rock road in between my house and this gas station and storage shed units, you know, and they wrote it up with 15 feet from the middle of the road. So that would be 7 or 8 feet into my yard, give or take. What we're worried about is what if ownership of the storage facility got passed to somebody else down the line, would they actually own 7 or 8 feet of our property, or is that just, could they widen the road? What, would we lose our property? How would, could we ever lose our property? That's what we're worried about.
No, I was like taking an amateur run at this, and my answer is I can't even imagine how that could happen. So I would say no, Scott.
Easement is for use, not for ownership. So you would be giving up the ability to keep them off of that first 7 feet of your property. Could they take your property? No, unless they did an adverse possession by paving in and keeping you off of it. The only group that could take it without your permission would be the local government entity or the road commission by doing eminent domain, which is under the Fifth Amendment, and then they'd have to pay you for it. So a lot of times people have long front yards, and all of a sudden there's guys out there looking at surveying, and then the next thing you know, you got about 6 feet of front yard and you got a giant road in front of you. You gotta get paid for that, but these people that want the easement cannot take or own your property. Are they gonna compensate you for this?
Pay? No, they're not going to, nothing like that. The road is already there, the rock road.
Yeah, but not that.
People can get.
What about that 7 feet? They're going to extend. They're going to widen this thing.
Well, I'm sorry. They're not. They don't want to widen it. They just had to put an easement so people could get back to it. They're not asking to widen the road now. What I was asking.
You're
is
a very nice neighbor.
If they wanted to in the future, could I actually lose my 7 feet of my property?
I know. But I would talk to a real estate person to make sure that easement is written in a way that they do not get any ownership of that under any circumstances. It's very kind of you to let them take 7.5 feet of your property for their road to their storage shed.
Right.
You're a nice neighbor.
Well, like I said, they don't even need the 7.5 feet. That's what's confusing me.
Don't give it to them.
The road is already there.
You don't have to give it to them. Say no.
Okay. So
I don't want to cause you problems. Say, you know what? Well, how about this? Instead of saying no, send me an email. I'll give you a real estate guy. He can say no. Or he can tell you what your options are. I bet you if that storage shed and this gas station, if it's worth it to them, they could compensate you for this easement. You don't have to give them the easement.
That doesn't make any sense to me because people can get through the storage shed now.
That's right.
I don't understand why they even need an easement.
I think that's a good argument to say at this point the easement is not something you're interested in. But give me an email. I'll send you to a real estate person, and they can strategize on how this benefits you the best and not them.
Sounds good.
All right. Rick, you know his email address?
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Now, these are good students. They're passing the flying colors. Thank you, Rick.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Remember in the early days? Nobody could remember it.
Not even me.
Catching on. I think Lisa is next. Lisa, welcome to 590. The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Lisa.
And hello to the gang.
Lisa, hello to you. See, hang on a second, Lisa. Lisa said hello to the gang, and you guys did not even say hello to her.
Hello, Lisa.
I said hi.
I was going to say, where the hell is Limey?
I said hi. I said hi in sign language.
Tim did it in sign language.
That's so funny, because I can't say too much, but I know sign language.
You do?
Anyway, absolutely. Anyway, and you guys,
you did it.
When you talk about sign language, Frank, and my parents were deaf, so we grew up with deaf parents, and I would love to come in and explain it to you guys sometime, but sign language, a lot of it is just basic. Some, you guys do sign language, I'm sure, and not even know it, like shrugging your shoulders.
Well, just giving each other little symbols while we're on the air that the other person knows means time to take a break. Here's the problem with having you in to talk about it. It's sign language. It's very visual. And it'd be kind of difficult to really get what we're trying to the point across on the radio. Like if you said, for instance, this means sunrise. Well, they can't see it.
I didn't even think about that. Duh.
Lisa, do you know? Let me take a quick story. Yeah, I lost an advertiser many, many years ago because this woman, she owned a Western wear store. And she wanted to come in and talk about a new line of Western boots. And she said, I'll bring a few pairs of boots into the show. And I said, it's a radio show. Well,
was she blonde?
No, actually she was. But she brings the boots in anyway. And she sat them up on the radio console, like five pairs of boots. And she said, so as you can see, these black leather boots are actually. And I said, no, they can't see it. She got mad at me and dropped her business, went off the air, and discontinued her relationship because I had told her not to bring them. And every time she said, and as you can see, these ostrich, I kept saying, no, they can't see it. And then she said, well, you humiliated me on the air. I'm off your show. And I thought, oh, fine. But well, so I'd love to have you in. But
skin, how could you have that kind of business? Yeah, but I could describe it like milk. Just one example real quick.
I think I know milk? What you'd do to describe milk. I can help you. I'll help you with that.
But that's what my sister would do. Yeah, she would do that. But you act like you're milking a cow, Mr. Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you would squeeze a cow's udder?
Yes, I do.
It looks dirty, too.
Yeah. See, that would actually look like something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a sign language for milk. Mm. Oh, my God. Now we're wasting everybody's time.
No, we're not. This is educational. This is educational. Well, what's your question for Scott?
Thanks, because usually I do call, and not usually, but I've called before.
Okay.
And it was always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now, oh my gosh.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I'm having a problem with computer company that was supposed to protect my computer. I am so sorry. Come on, Lise.
That's all right. Take your time.
So I was getting all these messages. So that was about a year and a half ago. I started getting these messages, and the automatic message was I couldn't understand the language, and it was something about a refund. Kept calling. So I called him back, and here it was, the computer company that I paid $300 for 3 years to protect my computer. They were hacked, so they were wanting to refund my money, and I'm like, okay, that's great. So their bank, I'm trying to keep this short, their bank is in Thailand.
Uh-oh.
And I know. And they wanted me to open up my bank account, and then through UltraViewer, they were going to transfer money to my account, but it was going to be in excess because of the dollar exchange. I feel like an idiot.
Wow.
So they owed me, and my first clue was, they said, well, how much is your refund? And I said, it's about $300. Okay, $300. Well, that's not right. So they converted, as they explained, you know, it's going to be a different amount. It may be less, it may be more. We're going to put this in your account, and then you are going to send the remainder back if it's too much.
Mm-hmm. And of course, to do that, they need your bank account number.
Well, Frank, this is what I did. I opened up my bank account, and the first time it happened, they were rushing me. Thank you, Jesus, because I got kicked out. I forgot my username. I forgot my password.
What'd they get you for?
Well, they haven't yet. So that's why I'm sorry.
So they haven't stolen the money yet?
No.
Why aren't you? You need to be at your bank.
Yeah, change accounts.
Get over there and transfer. Put a hold on that account and transfer everything to a new account. You're in the process of getting robbed.
Okay.
Lisa, you seem extremely upset, and you actually have not been robbed yet. You haven't had anything happen yet.
Thank you. I'm so sorry for getting so upset, you guys, but this has been like 48 hours of no sleeping.
It's as easy.
Checking my bank account.
Stop checking your bank account and call your bank.
Call your local
as soon
branch.
As you hang up.
As soon as you can.
And freeze that account.
And tell them what's happened, that you're in the process of getting hacked. And don't feel embarrassed or sad.
No.
Millions of people get scammed all the time. That is one of the horrible things about computers. So stop it.
Here's what's always the red flag. Overseas transaction.
That's why I feel like such an idiot.
No, you're not an idiot.
Now, here's how the computer companies get caught. There are things called class action suits, and when their or whatever entity screws up and it's $300 or $200, it's almost never enough for one person to bring a lawsuit against them for the breach of the contract. You know, the Subway sandwich is not 12 inches or whatever.
Right.
That will come in the mail. They will not call you and say, oops, we screwed up. Give us your routing number and your account number. That is hacking. And here's another thing. Like Frank said, if it's overseas, these guys in Nigeria are great at this. They get people nervous.
It's in Bangkok, Thailand.
I don't know where it is.
You're supposed to send them a wire transfer.
You don't know where it is, and they don't want you to know where it is.
You're right. You're
exactly
right. It
may be anywhere.
It
might be in somewhere in Kazakhstan. Here's what it isn't. It isn't legitimate. So talk to your bank's fraud department. Today, it's not even 5 o'clock.
I can call their 800 number. I'm sure I'm in a small town, and I know they're closed.
Call their 800 number to talk to the fraud people. That's what fraud people do.
And Lisa, there's a guy named Tom on the phone. He said the similar thing happened to him, and he can give some more information about what to do.
How could I get a hold of him and thank him?
No,
well,
he's
you
on,
don't
no,
have
he's
to.
On
he's
the
on the phone
he's
right now. Hey, Tom, say hi to Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Now, take it easy. It'll be all right. I actually have exactly the same situation. This person mentioned a computer name, and he wasn't from them, so I won't say that. But they were going to refund
my
$300.
All right, listen to what Tom's saying. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay.
Well, they were going to refund my $300 for this maintenance, repair, and safety security system. And he had already brought my bank account up on the screen. Now, I'm smarter than this, and I should have gotten out then. Because I don't know how he did that. I did not open up my bank account for him. He was on it. And he started moving the screen around, and then he says, okay, I'm going to refund your money. And he put $3,000 in it. And then he went, oh, my God. I made a mistake. I put too much money in it. Once again, I should have known right there. It was trouble.
Right.
And what he wanted me to do was, and then after that, he wanted me to go to Walmart and get gift cards for the amount of $2,700 and send it to an address he was going to give it me. Now, at that point, I knew it was completely crooked, and I said no, but he had locked my computer. So what happened was, I'll try to get to the end quickly, it was a terrible situation. But see, I saw the $3,000 in my account, and I go, oh, my God, it's in my checking account. And I said, it's really there, because then I checked it on my phone, and I checked my bank account, and the $3,000 was in there. So my computer was locked. then, and I hung up, and he tried to call back several times, and I wouldn't answer. Yeah. But my computer was locked, so I went to my branch bank, because it was about 6:30 at night, and they said, you've been hacked. We've had that scheme before. They locked my account. It was a big hassle. I had to change all my accounts, but in the end, it was good, because I got rid of a lot of old accounts, and I did have to buy a new computer, a new server, and I got one that's nicer anyway, so we cleaned all that up. But what I found out, I didn't lose any money. And what I found out is they took the $3,000 from one of my, from a line of credit I had, a credit card connected to this account. And they made a cash transfer to my checking account. That's where the money came from. So my bank put that money back in there and put the fee back in there, and I didn't lose any money. But see, if your computer still works, you should stop it now, because what I really lost was I had to buy a new computer. I took it to Best Buy, and they could not unfreeze it. They said, it's not worth it. It'd be easier just to buy a new one. They couldn't get it was jammed. It was hacked, and they couldn't clean it out. So it was very interesting. I felt like a total idiot, because I've worked in the criminal business and all that. Not as a criminal, but anyway.
Thanks for clearing that up. Yeah. Thanks for telling us that.
I should have known better, but it sounds like you have it. If your computer still works, you should stop everything now. Did they put money in your account?
Well, when they showed me the screen, it looked like there was $16,000 in my account. And the other odd thing was, Tom, thank you again so much. My balance in my checking account was $8,000, and here, little like 800, 8,000 something. That was the amount that they overpaid me, was $8,000.
Well, see, that's even more, but they were going to refund me $300, and then all of a sudden $3,000 appeared in there, right. And this man said, oh my God, I made a mistake. I put $3,000 instead of $300. You need to pay me $2,700. So, well, that's the upshot of it, and that's the same thing. So don't pay him anything, and I hope your computer still works, and I hope that's some help to you. So just get to your bank. You may have to change your account.
Tremendous help. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, I can. I can on the radio.
Thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough.
Lisa, first order of business, Tom, would you agree? Call the bank, freeze the account.
Yes.
I'm hanging up with you guys. And the bank... And the bank told me, oh, yes, we've had several people complain about this. They were wonderful. I have a large bank, and they did everything for me. I mean, it was a big hassle, but they did everything and took care of. So I didn't lose any money. But you still have your computer, so you could get out of this just with getting new accounts, and you have to change over your payments and debits and all that.
You know, it would be awesome if you could freeze your account and keep that $8,000.
Yeah, damn.
Probably, but it's probably her own money.
I know.
It's not real money. It's not real money. It's not real money.
See, I saw it on my checking account, and I didn't think to check my other. I have a credit card attached to the account.
Yeah, they paid him with his own. Yeah, they paid Lisa with her own money. It's her money
anyway.
That's right. Yeah. Tom, this is great advice.
And your bank will pay that back, and, you know, they'll clean your accounts out and all that.
Right.
Lisa, stop crying like a baby now.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
It's a pain in the butt. Tom, thank you for calling.
All right, you're welcome.
And Lisa, stop crying. You're fine. Call your bank, and that's it. It's a pain in the butt, but it'll be no big deal, and you're going to lose any money. Okay?
And it's a huge lesson I have learned, and thank you guys so much. I'm going to sleep better tonight.
Lisa, you're not the only person in the world who's ever felt like an idiot because somebody was so slick and so good and so believed. I get emails almost every day that, honest to goodness, look like they're from Yahoo. Mm-hmm. They're not from Yahoo. I get them that look like they're from UBS, which is a financial. They're not. They're fake. And they copy the logos and just call right now, okay?
And then I need to call all of my automatic payments and change that, correct?
Call the bank's fraud department now. Let them tell you how to do it.
They'll tell you what to do after that, okay?
Thanks, Scott. And then really quick, sorry about Tim's dad.
Thank you.
But thank God the investigator's back to answer those important questions about why the keys are the way they are.
That's right.
Thank you, Lisa. Good luck.
I love you guys. Thank you.
We love you too, and in a sexual way.
Okay? In a sexual way. Look at you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Tom. Bye bye.
Wow, she was really upset. Yeah. I don't really think we have time to take any more calls, so let me just say this, because I still have a little business to do before we get into the 5 o'clock hour in the Playhouse and all that. Scott, this is a fantastic service, and when people like Tom call, it automatically make her feel better, because you can tell Tom wasn't an idiot. Tom was a pretty well-spoken, intelligent guy, and even he got sucked into this stuff. There's a special place in hell for people who steal money. You don't have to do it with a gun and a mask in the back. You can do it this way, which to me is every bit as bad. In fact, it's worse. At least the guy with the mask and the gun sort of shows himself to some extent. These people are cowards. They're anonymous. They use overseas banks, and that's unfortunately hard to track and hard to prosecute these people. But the smartest people can be taken advantage of and made to feel stupid. You should only feel stupid if you get suckered into the ones that are really, really obvious. I'm stuck in Nigeria, and I need some money, and your mom told me I could call
That's
you.
Right.
I've been her friend for 20 years. If you fall for that, you're an idiot. You deserve to be taken advantage of. Before we get away and I do some business and officially thank Scott, folks, please remember that Scott Sherman is brought to you by Peroni's Pizza. If you like this segment, if you like free legal advice, and you like learning things about the law, one way to show your appreciation is, one, tell Peroni's your AM and the PM. Two, eat their food. It's great. You'll be glad you did. Buffet, all-you-can-eat buffet, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Friday, it includes their chicken wings. Banquet facility at the Florissant location, and there are two locations, Florissant and St. Peter's, but in Florissant, they have a facility that will accommodate up to 100 people. The website is PeroniesPizza.com. That's P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S pizza.com. Scott, we'll do it again next Thursday.
You bet.
Folks, give it up for Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, guys.
All right. I have... Do you have any business, Limey? You need to get out
nope,
of the way.
We are good.
Well, then that gives me plenty of time to talk about the yard sale. First of all, two things. You can now sell something on the yard sale, even if you're not able to call Saturday morning, because Dan Stratton, that's on our Facebook page still, right?
Yes.
Facebook.com/AM and the PM. There's the number, the email address, rather, and I believe it is firstcommunityyardsale@yahoo.com.
That's it.
firstcommunityyardsale@yahoo.com. That's if you're not able to call. I hope you can call. Every Saturday now is getting better and better, because more and more people are realizing that, wait a minute, the other place is not, it's not the same yard sale. It's some other incarnation of whatever. The real yard sale is here. Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock, with the same great sponsor, and that sponsor is, and only is, First Community Credit Union. The largest credit union in the St. Louis area, and exclusive sponsors of the yard sale, which, by the way, should we mention, special guest co-host this Saturday, because Dan is unavailable, the one and only Trevor Limey, Limestone Phillips.
Yes.
Yeah, come on.
Hey.
He'll be co-hosting the yard sale Saturday morning. Are you nervous?
I am nervous. Hopefully I can be up to the standard that Dan puts forth every week.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's not much. That's
we'll
that's
be
not
broadcasting
much of a goal.
In English and British.
Hey, that bilingual yard sale.
That's right.
That's right. So Scott Sherman,
English to British translation.
Scott Sherman and Limestone Phillips will be your hosts this Saturday morning for the yard sale.
You know, I can do that show with sign language too for our hearing
impaired
listeners.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, yeah.
You could
I can sign language the show.
Tim will be signing Saturday. You won't see it, but he'll be signing.
Oh,
this is unbelievable! And of course,
Bob is selling a used car.
Remember that one, Garrett Morris?
Dan, yes, thank you.
That was for the hearing impaired.
I remember that. First Community Credit Union, a great place to bank. Over 40 locations. Dan, please. Now we just lost a sponsor.
Oh, sorry.
Great place to bank, and the official banking facility of this show. I've done all my banking there now for several years. you want to know more, you can go to their website, firstcommunity.com. Stop in anytime and have fresh popcorn and tell them you're AM and the PM. First Community Credit Union. Well, what do you know? It's 5 o'clock, which means news followed by stuff, followed by the joke. And in case you missed it when I just told you what time it was, it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
Good evening, everyone. The 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn under sunny skies, 73 degrees outside. That is today's high. We're just minutes away from hour number 3 of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O.